The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I, or I am come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. Now we believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. When we look into the life of John the Baptist, there are many lessons that we can take personally for ourselves. Because John the Baptist, when he came with his purpose to tell people that there was one coming. That the one coming was the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And you know, as I think of this here, the idea of John's telling of one who was coming, we have the same message to tell today. We have the message to tell that there is one coming, but his coming, this coming, is not coming to give his life a ransom for lost, guilty sinners. But his coming is to gather together those who have trusted in him in this day of grace. So you can see, we have a similar message that John the Baptist had to tell. Now, a number of months ago, I was reading through John's Gospel, and I came to this chapter, I was reading chapter 1, and I was particularly impressed with the fact that John, in this particular chapter, John mentions five times when he uses the expression, I am. Now, as we read through John's Gospel, you will find that the Lord Jesus, he uses very definitive statements relating to himself and his relationship with men and women. For instance, in John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. And we could go on through John's Gospel and we can pick out those different times when the Lord expresses to us his relationship to us. And we're all well familiar with John chapter 14, verse 6, where it's often used in the Gospel, and many times it appears in texts on the walls and halls and so on. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, John uses five times, he uses that expression, I am. So in the passage we have read, in verse 20, he says, I am not the Christ. And then in verse 21, he says, I am not Elijah or that prophet. And in verse 23, he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Then verse 27, he says, I am not unworthy. I am not worthy to unloose his shoes. And then in verse 31, he says, I am come, baptizing with water. And he could add these words, because I was sent. And he's referring to the fact that the Father sent him. And in Luke chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 2, we read that God sent John forth to tell of the coming of Christ. So those, I would like to speak about the life of this man, John the Baptist, in light of those five expressions. The first expression, I'm not the Christ. And as I was thinking of this, is that they observed his godly character. And then they wondered, could this be the Messiah? Because of his life, is this a Messiah? And if we were to look in Luke chapter 1, we would read that it tells us of the sanctity of John's life. It says, first of all, that he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. This is the expression that would link us with the vow of the Nazarene. And it's saying that John was to live a life of consecration unto his God. And John fulfilled that. And then it says John will be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And it's telling us that not only was John consecrating his life to God, but the Spirit of God was going to guide and direct his life. And in a similar manner, when you and I, in our heart and our mind, consecrate ourselves totally to God, that the Spirit of God is going to be guided and going to be evident in our life to others as we walk upon this scene. Now, when we look at his life, we look and we see that this consecration showed up in his dress, it showed up in his service, and it showed up in his manner of life. For if we were to read in Matthew chapter 3, we find that John's clothing was of camel's hair. Now, camel's hair would be a very coarse and rough material. You know, if you were to make all your clothes out of wool that you could do there, you would find that wool would tend to be a little bit scratchy. And yet camel's hair would be more so. And so it was not a comfortable garments. And yet, all of these would mark him as an outdoorsman. Someone who was on the outside, taking that outside place. And again, it tells us the fact that as believers, we're going to go out to Christ to the outside place. And then we read that he wore a linen leather girdle. Now, the idea of that leather girdle is a belt. And so his garments were tightened up, and he had the belt fastened on so that he was ready to serve. And it indicated that he was a man of action. He was ready for what the Spirit wanted him to do. And I think of the fact that Peter, in writing, he says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you. We are to be people of action today too. We're to be all ready when the opportunity presents itself. And then he was to eat. His food was to be locusts and wild honey. Now, I've never had locusts. I've eaten wild honey, but I've never had locusts with it. It doesn't really appeal to me, but in that day, it was a meal that the very poor would eat. And you know, it would show that this John the Baptist was one who was dependent upon the Lord. And I think, again, we can take this lesson. Am I dependent upon the Lord? Do I show that dependence in the way I conduct myself from day to day? You might remember that when we were going through Matthew and we came to chapter 6, we came to that prayer that the Lord gave his disciples. You know it? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Comes down to that portion. Give us this day our daily bread. What strikes me is that John may well have prayed that day after day, because you see what his food was. locusts and wild honey. Where is he going to find the locusts? The Lord's going to direct it to him. Where is he going to find the honeycombs? The Lord would have to direct him. So he was a man who was dependent upon the Spirit of God for all his directions. And again, this should bring us our attention to the question that we could ask. If people look at me, what impression do they get? In Acts chapter 4, we read of the leaders of the people in those days. And they looked upon Peter and John and the other disciples. They listened to what they had to say. They observed their behavior. And they observed the clothes that they were wearing. And it says of this, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they were a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they took that knowledge of them. Then if we go a little further on in the Acts to chapter 11, we find that here they are, the disciples of the Lord are up in Antioch in Syria. And again, they're proclaiming Christ and they're living before the people. And what do the people call them? They call them Christians. And so by their very life, and it's interesting that we're not told what the Christians in Antioch said. But because of their life, they were called Christians. In other words, followers of Christ. And so that in that first one, I am not the Christ, I think of this. They observed his life and his walk before them, and they said, could this be the Messiah? Could the Messiah live any other way than the way John is living? He says, I'm not the Christ. Then in verse 21 it says, I am not Elijah or that prophet. And here I think of this as they listened to what he was saying. They listened to the message and they wondered, is this that prophet that Moses spoke about? Is this Elijah who was to come? And he says, I'm not Elijah. And you see in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, it speaks of the fact that, behold, I will send you Elijah. And Elijah was going to come before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. But that's still a future day. At his birth, or before his birth, the angel had said that John was going to preach in the power and the spirit of Elijah. And the disciples speaking to the Lord said, they say that Elijah is going to come first. And the Lord said, John had come in the spirit of Elijah. And he had been rejected. And he goes on to say, just as John was rejected, so the Lord will be rejected. And then he says, I'm not that prophet. And that prophet, that really comes from the words of Moses in Deuteronomy. And Moses had told the children of Israel that the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. And you know, they were looking for that prophet to come to tell them about the Messiah. But Moses was already speaking of the Messiah. That one that Moses was speaking about would be the Messiah. And when we read in Mark's Gospel, in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, we read that John's message was with power, for many confessed their sins. And Matthew tells us what the basis of John's message. repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was he trying to tell them? He was trying to tell them that the Messiah is going to be here. He's at hand. And as we look at the message of John, we find that John's message touched the hearts of the people because he lived his message. He confronted them with the demands of God, and he demonstrated those demands in the way in which he lived. And so by his words and by his actions, he was directing men and women towards God. But it makes me think of the words of Joshua to the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 24. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And we have that message comes to us today too. Even as believers, we must make that choice. Am I going to serve God or self? You see, it's very easy to serve self. But am I going to serve God or self? But John was really a prophet. John, in the sense of his day, he expressed to the people the things about Christ. He told them, prophesied to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, in Matthew chapter 3, we have some of his prophecy concerning the Christ. He said, first of all, he says, the axe is laid unto the tree. And it seems in my mind to link up with that verse in Luke chapter 13, where there was the fig tree growing in the garden. And the master of the fig of the vineyard came and he said, cut it down. That's the axe. Laid or ready at the foot of the tree. But then you have the call of the gardener and he says, leave it alone this time yet. And I will care for it and see if it will yet bring forth fruit. And if not, cut it down. And that is really the picture here that John is presenting. There is judgment pronounced. But for a little while, as the Messiah walked upon this scene, the judgment was held at bay. But there came a time when the children of Israel turned away. They rejected Christ. And the judgment came. Matthew also records these words, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And really, and the other gospel writers as well mention this. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. What has impressed me about this, although there are many things that we can look at in this connection, the thing that impresses me about it is that he was telling them that they would be indwelt by the Spirit of God, and that indwelling of the Spirit of God would be their eternal security, that they belonged to God. And you'll think of those verses in Ephesians chapter 1, where it says, in whom also after that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Each one today who has trusted Christ is sealed with the Spirit of God. But think of that, we think, first of all, that John in his prophecy, he speaks of mercy. Then he speaks of security. Do you know, John also, you see, they had asked John, are you a prophet? He said, no. Are you Elias? Elijah? He said, no. And we're talking about this teaching. And even in John's life, John was a faithful teacher. Faithfully he taught the people. And even when there came amongst him those that he had no confidence that they were saved, and they wanted to be baptized, John, in his faithfulness, spoke to them. He told them that it wasn't enough for them to be baptized, for them to say they were saved, to say they had repented and were baptized. That was not enough. They had to show it by their life. And he said unto them, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. In other words, prove your repentance. Show the people by your life that you have trusted in God, that it has marked your life. And John was saying, have you, and I'll put it in the language we would could use today. Have you truly trusted in Christ? If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, has there been a change in your life? You see, I was particularly impressed when I was reading and studying Mark's Gospel that right through there, every time there's a person who's healed, there's been a change in their life. Right in the very second chapter, we have a man who was let down by his friends into the midst of the Lord. The Lord speaks to him and says, thy sins be forgiven thee. Rise up, take up thy bed, and go unto thy home. And we read of that man that he got up. There was a change in his life. He worshipped God. There was a change in his life. His sins were forgiven. There was a change in his life. You go on to the end of Mark chapter 2, and you find there's a man called Matthew. He's sitting at the receipt of customs. And the Lord speaks to him, come, follow me. And he follows the Lord, and there's a change in his life because he has laid aside that table of that he was seated at. And the change in his life is he puts on a feast. And to that feast he invites all his friends. And they sit down in the presence of the Lord. There's been a marked change in his life. Chapter 3 speaks about the disciples. And they're all gathered into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And there's a change in their lives. Peter and James and John and Andrew were fishermen. They're no longer fishing for fish in the sea. Now they're seeking after lost sinners. And we find all those others. There's been a change in their life. And as you go through Matthew's Gospel, he speaks about the importance of that change. And here John saying, I am not that Elijah, and I'm not that prophet. He's telling them that when they have repented, and when they have trusted in Christ, there is a change in their life. A change that will be evident, not only to the gospel preacher, as John we could express John to be, not only to that, but an evident change in their life to those around them. And so, John was, in that first one, saying, I'm not the Messiah. Then he says, I'm not Elijah or that prophet. And then they said, well then, who are you? And he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then he goes on and he says, I am not worthy of this one of whom I am telling you. And then he could say, I am sent to baptize. And our time is up, and so we'll speak to the Lord in prayer. Our God and loving Heavenly Father, We thank Thee for Thy great blessings to us. We thank Thee, Father, that at Calvary's cross, the Savior died for us.